The disagreements that emerged at this week's G20 summit in Seoul came as a disappointment to leaders who wanted to build on the cooperation evident at previous G20 meetings. At the height of the financial crisis about 2 years ago, governments agreed on a common course of action and pledged to avoid protectionism. They largely kept those promises, and the global economy began to turn around. But this summit has left leaders worrying that the recovery is now in jeopardy. NPR's Tom Jilton has more.
It was clear in the weeks leading up to Seoul that this G20 summit was unlikely to be as productive as the ones that preceded it. The sense of an imminent global crisis had passed. The United States and other industrial countries had turned their attention to their own economic difficulties, says Kamal Dervish of the Brookings Institution.
The recovery is weak, unemployment is persistent, and unless international cooperation can give some immediate results, there's not much political willingness to wait for international cooperation to help.
The big developing countries like China, Brazil, and India have fared much better since the financial crisis. Dervish, a former treasury minister in Turkey, says the improving conditions in these emerging economies explains their more inward focus.
They feel that they should just move on. They feel impatient, and they don't necessarily feel threatened the way they felt 18 months ago by the worldwide economic crisis. So for different reasons, they also are in a somewhat less cooperative mood.
And yet cooperation remains vital. Two big issues loomed over this G20 meeting. One was the need to address the great imbalance between the big exporting countries like China and the big importing countries like the United States. One way to do that was to get exchange rates more in line so that countries weren't undercutting each other in the market pricing of their products. Another goal was to promote freer trade. British Prime Minister David Cameron was worried enough on the eve of the summit to warn of the dangers of a new era of protectionism.
Countries would increasingly be tempted to try to maximize their own growth and their own employment at the expense of others. Globalization, the force that has been so powerful in driving development and bringing huge numbers into the world economy, could go into reverse. If we follow that path, we will all lose out.
The final G20 communique released yesterday reaffirmed the intention of countries to work for balanced trade and more currency stability. But the wording was general, without specific commitments. Richard Portas is president of the Center for Economic Policy Research in London.
We're not going to see any more currency stability coming out of this. We're not going to see more trade coming out of this. What positive results do we have? Nothing much is going to happen.
With no agreement at Seoul to avoid currency wars, governments may now feel more free to seek other advantages against their trading partners. The G20 leaders did not make evident progress on a new global trade pact, and the United States and South Korea failed to reach a trade agreement of their own. But there is a more positive view of the G20 summit. Kamal Dervish, who participated in these meetings back when he was Turkey's treasury minister, points out that the G20 process itself is important. Decisions about the global economy are now being made by a broader group of governments than was the case in the past, and that, Dervish says, gives these governments more of a stake in those decisions.
It's true that on trade, great progress hasn't been made, but again, I think cooperation of the G20 has helped not slide back. And I think that's sometimes as important and even more difficult than making progress.
It used to be that the United States and the other big industrial countries could manage world economic affairs on their own. With the growing importance of these G20 summits, that has changed. In fact, the biggest news out of Seoul was an agreement to give developing countries a bigger voice in the organization responsible for the world economy, the International Monetary Fund. Tom Jelton, NPR News, Washington.